I can't believe I'm saying this, but today is the last Friday of the last Sundance in Park City. So many mixed emotions from all of us here at KPCW, and I personally am in denial. I had the chance to sit down with three Park City locals and folks who have worked behind the scenes of Sundance: Casey Metzger, Kevin Valleca, and Annabelle Carroll. They all came with some incredible stories about the festival that put Park City on the map. Oh yeah, and there is a How to Sundance pro tip at the end. You don't want to miss this. Here's my conversation with Casey, Kevin, and Annabelle. What do you do, Casey?
I have been a bartender in town for a long time, and I own a mobile bar service called Top Shelf Services.
Oh, cool. That's yours. Nice.
No, I was, though, a police dispatcher for Park City Police.
No way.
Yeah. So okay. I did that for 3 Sundances in a row, which doesn't sound like that many, but was enough.
And you're Shabu of
I Yeah, I was a restaurant manager for years and years in the early Sundance years, and then became a restaurant owner in the later Sundance years.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is, if you want to voice your opinion, but we'll just get the hard part over first. How do you feel about Sundance leaving?
You know, nothing's forever. Yeah. I think the infrastructure is too maxed during an old town area, primarily. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else seems fine.
Right. What is a not perfect scenario?
Giant traffic jams on Deer Valley Drive. We get concerned because can people be on time for all their bookings and movies and stuff. So mm-hmm. once it starts getting delayed, that delay just impacts and carries through the night.
It's not a non-stressful event.
It's not a non-stressful event, no.
How about you, Casey? How are you feeling about it?
I agree with Kevin in the fact that the impact of Sundance is big, and it's probably hard to grow it. Can you keep anything the same for too long before it gets stagnant? So it's a huge economic driver for not only our business, but different sectors in our economy, which is going to have to reset. But I'm thankful for the whole journey. You know, I've been doing it for 30 years, 15 years or so in the restaurant and bar scene. And then with Top Shelf, this was our 18th. I kept calling it the last chance because I wanted to be able, instead of the last dance, I wanted to be able to logistically do Sundance perfectly. And we hit a home run. There's a tribal knowledge and effort that took 30, 40 years to figure out where this whole town comes together and helps each other out. You have relationships from the next door neighbor to the transportation people to the parking people to the... There's so many boots on the ground that really make the magic that's not on paper.
And the citizens themselves.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, my stories usually end up late at night. So.
Yeah. With lots of alcohol involved.
Yeah, okay.
Just nonstop busyness. Like, I was thinking about coming in to a ringing phone and 2 calls on hold, and that being true for 10 straight hours. A ringing phone, 2 calls on hold, 3 calls on hold, you know, 911 then ringing, like, mm-hmm. with people who were here for whatever reason and didn't know where to park or where to be or how to get there. And then, of course, depending on what time of day it was, into the evening, we were then responsible for maintaining order for Tao Nightclub, all the things that were happening within the city limits. Always been the interesting thing to me about Sundance is it's 2 things. It's like a film festival, of course, obviously, but then it becomes this satellite installation of just wild parties.
It was a funny story where there was the Grey Goose Lounge. This was in like 2000, maybe 2013. They would put in 300 to 400 people in 3 phases throughout the day. One particular night, one of our guys parked the truck out, flashers on, right on Main Street. He went in, delivered something to the bar. In 5 or 10 minutes, when he walked out, he started the truck up, and there's 2 people getting to know each other in the back of the truck.
Oh my God.
Going on. He doesn't know if he's getting robbed. He doesn't know whether they're trying to steal a truck.
That's crazy.
I worked for Sundance restaurant property on Main Street called Zoom back in the day from 96 to 2001 mm-hmm. or so. And same thing, we would move all the furniture out to the patio, have a party, have a tattoo lounge set up for a show about tattoos, and then move all the furniture back in, serve a dinner, like 400 people, move all the furniture back out for a late night party. And like the heavy moving that Casey's describing is... It's a lot.
I remember when I came here one time, because I've been coming here forever, Sundance thing, since 97 or something. But I remember when it kind of changed. It was like, oh, wow, there's people standing outside this whatever in bikinis.
You could see it start changing from that more raw festival atmosphere of people coming here to get discovered, people walking around with putting up posters everywhere and costumes and more of a renegade type of a vibe mm-hmm. to this polished thing we have now.
Mm-hmm. The year that Paris Hilton showed up. And however
seminal.
Why she showed up or whether she was in a movie, like maybe it was like 2009, 10 era or whatever. But that's when all of a sudden the stars started showing up, and then it was very star-centric and people were walking around Main Street looking at each other. Like you're walking down Main Street and everybody's looking at everybody in their eyes. Who are you? Who are you?
I feel like things really shifted when Tao Nightclub started doing their pop-up every year. I feel like that really shifted things to this point of like people no longer even here just because they had a film, but yeah. like here because of all the other things that popped up around the festival. I don't know, for me that was like a turning point.
And then I think that it was peaking out around 2019, right before the pandemic. The infrastructure of town was getting blitzed. Faucets were breaking, power surges were happening where you'd go without power, trash cans were overdone, you couldn't get in and out. It was at capacity.
I think it was after an incident where somebody who had become incredibly intoxicated decided to lay down in the roundabout on Lower Main. And the officer that tried to like move her along got like spit on. And I remember being like, how is this associated with a film festival? Like, how do we get from indie film to a random girl lying in the street mm-hmm. on a Tuesday night?
Not her best moment, I'm sure.
Anonymous girl, she came to the station 2 days later and asked to speak to the officer and apologized.
Oh, wow.
Profusely.
Mm-hmm. And
then wow. COVID hit, goes online, we miss a couple. And what I've seen, it just kind of got back to its roots.
Do you have a favorite year or favorite movie, favorite story?
The bands that we would see come through, Metallica at I think it was PC Live at that time.
Wow.
David Grohl had a movie, Sound City, in there. And that movie alone brought in everyone from Neil Young, I think, to members of Fleetwood Mac. Mm. And it was a spectacular movie, to Snoop Dogg.
Do you have a favorite year?
My favorite year, 2008, which was the year that I started my business. I had been working in a bar and a restaurant. I gave my notice on a sleepy November Thursday night, and someone from Sundance came in and said, hey, we need somebody to operate the ASCAP Music Cafe in the middle of the street on the Lower Main. And I was like, oh, wow, I just gave my notice today. I'll do it. It was such an impactful thing for me because it's really what got me started for the rest of what was to come. But one of my favorite parts about that was Winona Ryder was playing that show. And on her way out, I caught her eye, and she looked at me. She gives me the finger, come over here. And I come over, she goes, what's your name? And I was like, Casey. And she was like, I love my drink. And I was like, she goes, and you're cute. And I was like, man, I like this Sundance thing. I think this is going to be fun. The amount of talent that came through ASCAP Music Cafe, everybody from Sting, Bob Weir, The Head and the Heart, Bruce Hornsby, the guy from Stone Temple Pilots. Probably my most favorite one was Chris Stapleton playing to 100 people. The next night, he went to the Golden Globes, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
and he did that act with Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
The next night,
wow.
in ASCAP, and everybody, no one knew who he was.
And you're always in there because you're serving the drinks. There you go.
Mine was probably the late 90s era when I was working for Sundance, and Bob interviewed me. I made it through a pretty lengthy interview process and had lunch with Bob and up at Sundance, and was extremely proud to work for Sundance and the festival. And I thought it was just great that he remembered my name.
Yeah.
It's the kind of guy he was. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We miss him.
Talk about celebrities. You go to a Redford party. I mean, it's Al Pacino to Bill Murray to you name it, Barbara Streisand. You never would know who he's coming with. And it was really a good time.
Another memorable night was I used to do a industry party at the end of Sundance. And it was a free party for if you were a bartender or if you worked in the clubs. I had done the Club Tao, so we'd done that for years. And I rented it from Tao right after they concluded. And I did this particular bartender recharge party the following night, whereas all the industry people come in, it's free. Everything is free. They don't pay a thing. And the theme of that one was that they were the real stars of Sundance.
Oh,
so we had red carpet. We had the video camera and did interviews of all the people and asked them what their most memorable thing was. And we had about 1,000 people coming in that night. And everybody had been working really hard, and they're getting ready to let loose for the night. And we flew in DJs from, LA or whatever, and we were getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, they're lighting up those cigars they smoke. Everybody was like, what is going on? I think that's Wu-Tang. Because you know how Sundance is. Everybody's like, where are these guys playing? Where are these guys playing? And all of a sudden, it was a give back to the community. And it couldn't have been any better because Wu-Tang came and played for free for these guys. Blew the top off that place. It was insane. I'll share a little secret for those going to Boulder.
Okay.
That I've kind of kept close to chest. But if you ever want to get into a party during Sundance, pretty easy. Get on your party clothes. Then put black on black. Get a little name tag. Grab 3 bags of ice, go to the front door and say, excuse me, I gotta get in. That's how you get into any party during Sundance.
That is great advice. That is a baller move right there.
You come in, prod vice. Rip off the blacks, have the party shirt on.
It works for chef coats too.
Chef really? Coats.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. It's been really fun.
Us.
Yeah. And bye, Sundance. We'll miss you.